From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Thursday, March 19th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Discount retailer Family Dollar is planning to close its distribution center in Matthews and lay off more than 370 workers. In a filing with the state of North Carolina, the company says the closure will take effect in August and the layoffs will be permanent. The company did not immediately return requests for comment. The closure and layoffs come a year after Family Dollar was purchased by two private equity firms for more than $1 billion. Mecklenburg County commissioners have approved $6.3 million to help fund the restoration of Mallard Creek in northeastern Mecklenburg County. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Stormwater Services plans to restore just over a mile of the creek corridor from Mallard Creek Church Road to I-485. The work is intended to improve water quality and habitat, plus stabilize the stream banks. It's part of a joint project with Charlotte Water, which is paying about $20 million to build more than 3 miles of sanitary sewer, and the Cross Charlotte Trail, which also plans a project in the area. Mallard Creek Greenway runs along that stretch of Mallard Creek where construction will be taking place. Nearby residents will be notified if crews need to close a portion of the greenway due to the work. Governor Josh Stein will visit Charlotte today to celebrate the grand opening of PSA Airlines' new headquarters in the city. The new headquarters is expected to bring 400 jobs to Mecklenburg County and support more than $228 million in economic output in North Carolina each year. Later at Central Piedmont Community College, Governor Stein and public safety professionals will highlight the governor's critical needs budget that invests more in law enforcement. CVS Health is investing millions of dollars to expand access to community-based healthcare and food services in West Charlotte. Julian Berger has more.
CVS Health is launching a new health zone in Charlotte's historic West End, with funds going to a coalition of local groups led by LISC Charlotte. The effort will connect residents with primary care, mobile health clinics, and fresh food, helping people manage chronic health conditions and limited grocery options. Ralphine Caldwell with LISC Charlotte says the goal is to support longtime residents.
It's a great way for us to be able to take care of those that have lived in this community for many years, but we want them to continue to live in this community and really excel and thrive.
The program will run over the next 3 years and is housed in First Baptist Church West. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Duke Energy has requested permission from state regulators to develop new fossil fuel resources to accommodate a growing population and potential new AI data centers. Zachary Turner attended a hearing Wednesday evening in Charlotte to learn more.
State regulators held the final public hearing on Duke Energy's proposed carbon and resource plan on Wednesday night at the Mecklenburg County Courthouse. Environmental and climate advocates like Rachel Rader say the plan punts on clean energy in favor of fossil fuels, such as natural gas and coal.
We really just want clean, affordable, renewable energy sources.
The current plan would see planet warming emissions increase in the short term as Duke extends the life of its coal plants and builds new natural gas turbines. Duke Energy spokesperson Bill Norton says these and other proposed changes would increase bills by half as much as the 2023 resource plan.
Rates are still going up, but they're going to go up much less.
State regulators will make a decision later this year. Duke customers can still file their comments at ncuc.gov. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Former Governor Roy Cooper made a stop in Asheville's River Arts District Wednesday as part of his Make Stuff Cost Less tour. The Democrat is running to replace outgoing North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis, who is retiring. Speaking to reporters, Cooper called for a ban on utility companies cutting off electricity during extreme weather conditions.
We have to do all we can to protect North Carolinians when they are at their most vulnerable, even when they haven't been able to keep up with their bill payments.
Cooper also said he wants to modernize the energy grid to lower energy costs. Cooper is running against Republican Michael Whatley, who has been endorsed by President Trump. The North Carolina House Committee wants voters to consider limiting increases in revenue local governments can receive from property taxes. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
The House Select Committee on Property Tax Reduction and Reform is proposing a constitutional amendment for this November. That amendment would require the General Assembly to cap how much local governments can increase property tax revenue from year to year. Representative Aaron Perret is a Republican from Wake County. She says the legislature has to act because of huge property tax increases enacted by some local governments.
We really owe people a sense of predictability of what they're going to be looking at as far as their personal budgets, their household budgets, and that just hasn't been happening with these recent tax hikes they've been seeing.
The proposal only requires the General Assembly to place limits on property tax revenue. It doesn't say anything about what those limits should be. The House Property Tax Reform Committee will meet again on April 15th. 3/5 of the House and Senate would need to approve the proposed constitutional amendment. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
Longtime Davidson Town Manager Jamie Justice will retire effective June 30th. Justice has been the town's manager since 2015. During his time as manager, he achieved the adoption of the 2020 Comprehensive Plan and the renovation of the historic Davidson School into the Town Hall and Community Center. The mayor and Board of Commissioners will conduct a search for the next town manager. This month's Cesar Chavez Contemplation Breakfast in Uptown Charlotte will move forward under a new name, following sexual abuse allegations against the late labor leader. The event, hosted by the National Council for Leadership, is scheduled for March 30th. It will now be called the Annual Contemplation Breakfast, removing Chavez's name. Chavez, who died in 1993, was a prominent civil rights leader and co-founder of the United Farm Workers Union. A New York Times investigation published Wednesday reports that Chavez is accused of molesting underaged girls and sexually assaulting women, including allegations from United Farm Workers co-founder Dolores Huerta. The Charlotte Hornets celebrate one of their best tonight when they retire the jersey of former player and current broadcaster Del Curry at the Spectrum Center. Curry played for the Hornets for 10 years in the 80s and 90s and retired as the franchise's all-time leader in points, three-pointers made, and games played. He was on Charlotte Talks Monday.
Kids are going to be there, the grandkids, everybody's going to be there to celebrate. This is a big day. This is my boys being in the game understand how big this is. Seth being the last 30 to wear it, number 30, everybody's super excited, and I can't wait.
You can hear that full conversation with Del Curry at WFAE.org. The former Sycamore Brewing reopened this past weekend in time for the St. Patrick's Day holiday. It has a new name, Club West Brewing, and is in the process of getting a new owner. Sycamore Brewing closed in early January, a few weeks after one of its co-founders was arrested on sex crime charges involving a 13-year-old girl. For more, Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
You've been covering this story since the beginning. What was the turnout like this past weekend when Club West debuted?
Yeah, Marshall. So Saturday afternoon, a lot of folks were out in Charlotte celebrating St. Patrick's Day weekend, and Club West Brewing looked just like it did back in its heyday as Sycamore. Patios were packed. The interior was wall-to-wall folks. You know, the only obvious signs of change would be the new names on the beer menu and the new branding throughout saying Club West instead of Sycamore. But it definitely looked like business as usual on its first day back.
Yeah, Sycamore was one of the largest breweries in Charlotte when it closed earlier this year after the fallout from the arrest of co-founder Justin Brigham. Is Club West a different brewery, or is it Sycamore with just a new name? And do we know anything about how this deal came together or how much it's being sold for?
The details of the deal, including the value of the transaction, aren't clear or public at this time. But the intention is that the current owner, Sarah Taylor, of course, the wife of Justin Brigham, who filed for divorce in January, she has said she is selling the brewery full out to Brad Bergman, who had been the director of brewery operations at Sycamore. I think you could say a lot of what Club West is going to offer is going to resemble Sycamore. A lot of the recipes of the beers that they are selling at Club West have a lot of reminiscence of the Sycamore beers, including their flagship Mountain Candy IPA. But, you know, they are also making it clear that this is kind of a new era for the brewery. And I'm curious to see how the sale, which is still pending regulatory approvals, how the Charlotte community will kind of react to the new Sycamore, for lack of a better term.
Okay, over to Uptown now, where you report the number of office towers that have sold at deep discounts in the past few years could be a wake-up call come tax revaluation time. How so?
The reval isn't happening until 2027, but it's something that's already on a lot of folks' minds because so many Uptown office towers have traded at really deep discounts even since the 2023 revaluation. Because so much of the tax revenue in the county and the city comes from the Uptown commercial real estate market, I think this is going to be significant. I looked at all the towers that have traded since 2023, and a number of them have sold for 50% or even more in some cases. So that's going to show up for sure in the revaluation next year, and that's going to impact how much revenue local tax coffers get from commercial real estate. Some folks I spoke with said this is important to keep an eye on next year when we do see the revaluation, and we might even see a few more deeply discounted office trades before that time too.
Okay, let's switch over now to summer internships. You reported that the timelines for those internships at some of Charlotte's biggest companies is shifting and that demand for a spot is up more than ever. It sounds like summer internships are harder to get into than college itself these days. What's driving all that?
The war for talent really is even rippling out now to internships. It's not even just landing a job. We know the labor market's really challenging right now. This has always been true to an extent. You know, getting an internship at Bank of America has always been very competitive, but timelines are moving up. Companies are looking to lock in summer 2027 interns by the end of this month. So that's over a year out. Thousands of applicants are applying for usually what's just a couple of dozen positions at some of these companies. So it's definitely become a lot more fierce. And I think that just speaks to how tight the labor market has gotten overall.
Okay, Ashley, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the Law Office of Robertson and Associates. And for Thursday, March 19th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.